John 12. So 6 days before the Passover feast, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had died, and whom he had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of ointment of pure liquid nard, a rare perfume that was very expensive, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, the one of his disciples who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, a year's wages for an ordinary workman, and that money given to the poor, the destitute?" Now he did not say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and having the bag, the money box, the purse of the 12, he took for himself what was put into it, pilfering the collections. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. It was intended that she should keep it for the time of my preparation for burial. She has kept it that she might have it for the time of my embalming. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Now a great crowd of the Jews heard that he was at Bethany, and they came there not only because of Jesus, but that they also might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him many of the Jews were going away, were withdrawing from and leaving the Judeans, and believing in and adhering to Jesus. The next day a vast crowd of those who had come to the Passover feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. And as they went, they kept shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he, and praise to him who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus, having found a young donkey, rode upon it, just as it is written in the Scriptures, "Do not fear, O daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand and could not comprehend the meaning of these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified and exalted, they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The group that had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from among the dead kept telling it, bearing witness to others. It was for this reason that the crowd went out to meet him, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, proof, miracle. Then the Pharisees said among themselves, "You see how futile your efforts are, and how you accomplish nothing. See, the whole world is running after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. These came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they made this request, "Sir, we desire to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip together went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified and exalted. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. Anyone who loves his life loses it, but anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. Whoever has no love for, no concern for, no regard for his life here on earth, but despises it, preserves his life forever and ever. If anyone serves me, he must continue to follow me, to cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying. And wherever I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled and distressed, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour of trial and agony. But it was for this very purpose that I have come to this hour, that I might undergo it. Rather, I will say, Father, glorify, honor, and extol your own name." Then there came a voice out of heaven saying, "I have already glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd of bystanders heard the sound and said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake. Now the judgment crisis of this world is coming on. Sentence is now being passed on this world. Now the ruler, evil genius, prince of this world, shall be cast out, expelled. And I, if and when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, will draw and attract all men, Gentiles, as well as Jews, to myself." He said this to signify in what manner he would die. At this the people answered him, "We have learned from the law that the Christ is to remain forever. How then can you say, 'The Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross'? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "You will have the light only a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, keep on living by it, so that darkness may not overtake and overcome you. He who walks about in the dark does not know where he goes. He is drifting. While you have the light, believe in the light, have faith in it, hold to it, rely on it, that you may become sons of the light and be filled with light." Jesus said these things, and then he went away and hid himself from them, was lost to their view. Even though he had done so many miracles before them, right before their eyes, yet they still did not trust in him and failed to believe in him. So that what Isaiah the prophet said was fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed our report and our message? And to whom has the arm, the power of the Lord been shown, unveiled and revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, they were unable to believe. For Isaiah has also said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened and benumbed their callous, degenerated hearts. He has made their minds dull to keep them from seeing with their eyes and understanding with their hearts and minds, and repenting and turning to me to heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke of him. And yet, in spite of all this, many, even of the leading men, the authorities and the nobles, believed and trusted in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, for fear that, if they should acknowledge him, they would be expelled from the synagogue. For they loved the approval and the praise and the glory that come from men instead of, and more than the glory that comes from God. They valued their credit with men more than their credit with God. But Jesus loudly declared, "The one who believes in me does not only believe in and trust in and rely on me, but in believing in me, he believes in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, so that whoever believes in me, whoever cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, may not continue to live in darkness. If anyone hears my teachings and fails to observe them, does not keep them, but disregards them, it is not I who judges him. For I have not come to judge and to condemn and to pass sentence and to inflict penalty on the world, but to save the world. Anyone who rejects me and persistently sets me at naught, refusing to accept my teachings, has his judge, however. For the very message that I have spoken will itself judge and convict him at the last day. This is because I have never spoken on my own authority, or of my own accord, or as self-appointed, but the Father who sent me has himself given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell. And I know that his commandment means eternal life. So whatever I speak, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say and in accordance with his instructions." John 13. Now before the Passover feast began, Jesus knew, was fully aware, that the time had come for him to leave to the Father. And as he had loved those who were his own in the world, he loved them to the last, and to the highest degree. So it was during supper, Satan, having already put the thought of betraying Jesus in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, that Jesus, knowing, fully aware, that the Father had put everything into his hands, and that he had come from God, and was now returning to God, got up from supper, took off his garments, and taking a servant's towel, he fastened it around his waist. Then he poured water into the wash basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the servant's towel with which he was girded. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are my feet to be washed by you? Is it for you to wash my feet?" Jesus said to him, "You do not understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later on." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with in me. You have no share in companionship with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head too." Jesus said to him, "Anyone who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is clean all over. And you, my disciples, are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. That was the reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had finished washing their feet and had put on his garments and had sat down again, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me the teacher, master, and the Lord, and you are right in doing so, for that is what I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, master, have washed your feet, you ought, it is your duty, you are under obligation, you owe it, to wash one another's feet. For I have given you this as an example, so that you should do in your turn what I have done to you. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and no one who is sent is superior to the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed and happy, and to be envied are you if you practice them, if you act accordingly and really do them. I am not speaking of, and I do not mean all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but it is that the Scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread with me has raised up his heel against me. I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it does take place, you may be persuaded and believe that I am he who I say I am, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who receives and welcomes and takes into his heart any messenger of mine receives me in just that way, and he who receives and welcomes and takes me into his heart receives him who sent me in that same way." After Jesus had said these things, he was troubled, disturbed, agitated in spirit, and said, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, one of you will deliver me up, one of you will be false to me and betray me." The disciples kept looking at one another, puzzled as to whom he could mean. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, whom he esteemed and delighted in, was reclining next to him on Jesus' bosom. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask of whom he was speaking. Then, leaning back against Jesus' breast, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I am going to give this morsel, bit of food, after I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel of bread into the dish, he gave it to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. Then after he had taken the bit of food, Satan entered into and took possession of Judas. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do more swiftly than you seem to intend, and make quick work of it." But nobody reclining at the table knew why he spoke to him or what he meant by telling him this. Some thought that since Judas had the money box, the purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the bit of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified. Now he has achieved his glory, his honor, his exaltation, and God has been glorified through and in him. And if God is glorified through and in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once and not delay. Dear little children, I am to be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, you are not able to come where I am going. I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "You are not able to follow me now where I am going, but you shall follow me afterwards." Peter said to him, "Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, before a rooster crows, you will deny me, completely disown me, three times." John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely also on me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, homes. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I am going away to prepare a place for you. And when, if I go and make ready a place for you, I will come back again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And to the place where I am going, you know the way. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by, through, me. If you had known me, had learned to recognize me, you would also have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. Cause us to see the Father. That is all we ask. Then we shall be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with all of you for so long a time, and do you not recognize and know me yet, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say then, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? What I am telling you I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does his works, his own miracles, deeds of power. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least let these works that I do in my Father's name convince you. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father, and I will do. I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in through the Son. Yes, I will grant. I myself will do for you whatever you shall ask in my name as presenting all that I am. If you really love me, you will keep, obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. Just a little while now, and the world will not see me any more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me, and whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him, and make myself real to him. Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself, make yourself real to us, and not to the world? Jesus answered, If a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and make our home, abode, special dwelling place with him. Anyone who does not really love me does not observe and obey my teaching, and the teaching which you hear and heed is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. You heard me tell you, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you really loved me, you would have been glad, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater and mightier than I am. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does take place, you may believe and have faith in and rely on me. I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, evil genius, ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. But Satan is coming, and I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know, be convinced, that I love the Father, and that I do only what the Father has instructed me to do. I act in full agreement with his orders. Rise, let us go away from here. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to, the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much, abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken-off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I have loved you, just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love, continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friends. You are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. I do not call you servants, slaves any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, working out. But I have called you my friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from him. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you, I have planted you, that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain, abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, as presenting all that I am, he may give it to you. This is what I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you belonged to the world would treat you with affection and would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, no longer one with it, but I have chosen, selected you out of the world hates, detests you. Remember that I told you, a servant is not greater than his master, is not superior to him. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word and obeyed my teachings, they will also keep and obey yours. But they will do all this to you, inflict all this suffering on you, because of your bearing my name and on my account, for they do not know or understand the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, would be blameless. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me also hates my Father. If I had not done, accomplished among them the works which no one else ever did, they would not be guilty of sin. But the fact is, now they have both seen these works and have hated both me and my Father. But this is so that the word written in their law might be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who comes proceeds from the Father, he himself will testify regarding me. but you also will testify and be my witnesses, because you have been with me from the beginning. The Amplified Bible, the New Testament, John 16. I have told you all these things so that you should not be offended, taken unawares and falter, or be caused to stumble and fall away. I told you to keep you from being scandalized and repelled. They will put you out of, expel you from the synagogues. But an hour is coming when whoever kills you will think and claim that he has offered service to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have told you these things now, so that when they occur, you will remember that I told you of them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts, taken complete possession of them. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you, into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, and about judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me, trust in, rely on, and adhere to me. About righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, because I go to my Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler, evil genius, prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned, and sentence already is passed upon him. I have still many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or to take them upon you or to grasp them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole, full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me, because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. In a little while, you will no longer see me. And again, after a short while, you will see me. So some of his disciples questioned among themselves, what does he mean when he tells us, in a little while, you will no longer see me? And again, after a short while, you will see me, and because I go to my Father. What does he mean by a little while? We do not know or understand what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, are you wondering and inquiring among yourselves what I meant when I said, in a little while you will no longer see me, and again after a short while you will see me? I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that you shall weep and grieve, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she gives birth to a child, has grief, anguish, agony, because her time has come. But when she has delivered the child, she no longer remembers her pain, trouble, anguish, because she is so glad that a man, a child, a human being has been born into the world. So for the present, you are also in sorrow, in distress, and depressed. But I will see you again, and then your hearts will rejoice, and no one can take from you your joy, gladness, delight. And when that time comes, you will ask nothing of me. You will need to ask me no questions. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am. Up to this time you have not asked a single thing in my name, as presenting all that I am. But now ask, and keep on asking, and you will receive, so that your joy, gladness, delight may be full and complete. I have told you these things in parables, veiled language, allegories, dark sayings, The hour is now coming when I shall no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I shall tell you about the Father in plain words and openly, without reserve. At that time you will ask, pray in my name, and I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for it will be unnecessary, for the Father himself tenderly loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from the Father. I came out from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you are speaking plainly to us, and not in parables, veiled language, and figures of speech. Now we know that you are acquainted with everything, and have no need to be asked questions. Because of this, we believe that you really came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Do you believe it at last? But take notice, the hour is coming, and it has arrived, when you will all be dispersed and scattered, every man to his own home, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. John 17. When Jesus had spoken these things, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify and exalt and honor and magnify your Son, so that your Son may glorify and extol and honor and magnify you. Just as you have granted him power and authority over all flesh, all humankind, now glorify him so that he may give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, whom you have sent. I have glorified you down here on the earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me along with yourself and restore me to such majesty and honor in your presence as I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name. I have revealed your very self, your real self, to the people whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed and kept your word. Now at last they know and understand that all you have given me belongs to you, is really and truly yours. For the uttered words that you gave me I have given them, and they have received and accepted them, and have come to know positively and in reality, to believe with absolute assurance that I came forth from your presence, and they have believed and are convinced that you did send me. I am praying for them. I am not praying, requesting for the world, but for those you have given me, for they belong to you. All things that are mine are yours, and all things that are yours belong to me, and I am glorified in through them. They have done me honor. In them my glory is achieved. And now I am no more in the world, but these are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep in your name and the knowledge of yourself those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I kept and preserved them in your name, in the knowledge and worship of you. Those you have given me I guarded and protected, and not one of them has perished or is lost except the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, the one who is now doomed to destruction, destined to be lost, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I am coming to you. I say these things while I am still in the world, so that my joy may be made full and complete and perfect in them, that they may experience my delight fulfilled in them, that my enjoyment may be perfected in their own souls, that they may have my gladness within them, filling their hearts. I have given and delivered to them your word, message, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, do not belong to the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you will take them out of the world, but that you will keep and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, worldly, belonging to the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself, make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And so for their sake and on their behalf, I sanctify, dedicate, consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified, dedicated, consecrated, made holy in the truth. Neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me, and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have entrusted to me as your gift to me, may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, your love gift to me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has failed to recognize you and has never acknowledged you, I have known you continually, and these men understand and know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self, and I will continue to make you known, that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them, felt in their hearts, and that I myself may be in them. John 18. Having said these things, Jesus went out with his disciples beyond across the winter torrent of the Kidron in the ravine. There was a garden there which he and his disciples entered, and Judas, who was betraying him and delivering him up, also knew the place, because Jesus had often retired there with his disciples. So Judas, obtaining and taking charge of the band of soldiers and some guards, attendants of the high priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was about to befall him, went out to them and said, "Whom are you seeking? Whom do you want?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who was betraying him, was also standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they went backwards, drew back, lurched backward, and fell to the ground. Then again he asked them, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you want me, if it is only I for whom you are looking, let these men go their way." Thus what he had said was fulfilled and verified. "Of those whom you have given me, I have not lost even one." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Therefore Jesus said to Peter, "Put the sword back into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" So the troops and their captain and the guards, attendants of the Jews, seized Jesus and bound him. And they brought him first to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had counseled the Jews that it was expedient and for their welfare that one man should die for, instead of, in behalf of, the people. Now Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus, and that disciple was known to the high priest, and so he entered along with Jesus into the court of the palace of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the maid who kept the door, and brought Peter inside. Then the maid who was in charge at the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of the disciples of this man, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and the guards, the attendants, had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. And Peter was with them, standing and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in a synagogue and in the temple area where the Jews habitually congregate, assemble, and I have spoken nothing secretly. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. See, they know what I said. But when he said this, one of the attendants who stood by struck Jesus, saying, Is that how you answer the high priest? Jesus replied, If I have said anything wrong, if I have spoken abusively, if there was evil in what I said, tell what was wrong with it. But if I spoke rightly and properly, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. But Simon Peter still was standing and was warming himself. They said to him, You are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did I not see you in the garden with him? And again Peter denied it, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they brought Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, judgment hall, governor's palace. And it was early. They themselves did not enter the praetorium, that they might not be defiled, become ceremonially unclean, but might be fit to eat the Passover supper. So Pilate went out to them and said, What accusation do you bring against this man? They retorted, If he were not an evildoer, criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves, and judge and sentence and punish him according to your own law. The Jews answered, It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. This was to fulfill the word which Jesus had spoken to show, indicate, predict, by what manner of death he was to die. So Pilate went back again into the judgment hall and called Jesus and asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus replied, Are you saying this of yourself, on your own initiative, or have others told you about me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own people and nation and their chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom, kingship, royal power, belongs not to this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would have been fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here, this world. It has no such origin or source. Pilate said to him, Then you are a king. Jesus answered, You say it. You speak correctly. For I am a king. Certainly I am a king. This is why I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, who is a friend of the truth, who belongs to the truth, hears and listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? On saying this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no fault in him. But it is your custom that I release one prisoner for you at the Passover. So shall I release for you the king of the Jews? Then they all shouted back again, Not him, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. John 19. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged, flogged, whipped him. And the soldiers, having twisted together a crown of thorns, put it on his head and threw a purple cloak around him. And they kept coming to him and saying, Hail, King of the Jews! Good health to you, peace to you, long life to you, King of the Jews! And they struck him with the palms of their hands. Then Pilate went out again and said to them, See, I bring him out to you, so that you may know that I find no fault, crime, cause for accusation in him. So Jesus came out wearing the thorny crown and purple cloak, and Pilate said to them, See, here is the man. When the chief priests and attendants, guards, saw him, they cried out, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no fault, crime, in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to that law he should die, because he has claimed and made himself out to be the Son of God. So when Pilate heard this said, he was more alarmed and awestricken and afraid than before. He went into the judgment hall again and said to Jesus, Where are you from? To what world do you belong? But Jesus did not answer him. So Pilate said to him, Will you not speak even to me? Do you not know that I have power, authority, to release you? And I have power to crucify you? Jesus answered, You would not have any power or authority whatsoever against over me if it were not given you from above. For this reason, the sin and guilt of the one who delivered me over to you is greater. Upon this Pilate wanted, sought, was anxious to release him. But the Jews kept shrieking, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Anybody who makes himself out to be a king sets himself up against Caesar, is a rebel against the emperor." Hearing this, Pilate brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, the mosaic pavement, the stone platform, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about the sixth hour, about 12 o'clock noon. He said to the Jews, "See, here is your king." But they shouted, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him over to them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. So he went out.